Good morning, everybody. Pathetic. I was talking to a lady the other day who really is angry at going to church because she's got to wear a mask. And she says, I don't call it a mask, I call it a muzzle. And she was really angry and stopped going to church a few times because she had to wear it. The person I know very, very well, and I was talking to her, and I told her off because nobody can muzzle a child of God. Just because you got a mask on, it's not a muzzle. Amen? Come on. The title of my message this morning is Victory Through Praise. So are you going to receive this? You're not going to be muzzled? You're going to praise the Lord? Because He's worthy. The world may think they're muzzled, but we're not. You can't muzzle a child of God. John chapter 16 and verse 33 says, this is Jesus talking, and these are amongst the last words that He spoke to the believers. These are amongst the last words that He spoke. Listen to what He said. I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. And prior to this, He was talking on about peace, how He gives peace. He's given the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and guide. And He said that the works that He does has done, we will do also, and greater works. So He's been encouraging the disciples. He says, I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if He just said, now you're believing in Me, in this world, you'll never have trouble again. So that would have been good, wouldn't it? But it's not going to happen. This is if Jesus knows, then listen. In this world, you will have trouble. You. In this world, those who follow Jesus will have trouble. But not only those who follow Jesus. Everybody, whether you be atheists or Christians or whatever religion, everybody in the world will have trouble. And you don't need me to tell you that because you already know you've had it. You know that. But He doesn't finish there. I'm glad He didn't. He said, in this world you will have trouble. Well, yeah, tell us something we don't know. But this is what He did tell us. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And in one translation it says, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble. Be happy. Come on. Now, you can't talk like that to a non-Christian. You can't. It doesn't make any sense at all. But He's not talking to non-Christians. He's talking to His followers who are going to go through some real difficult times. He's talking to them and He's saying to them, in this world, you will have trouble. He's saying to us all these generations later, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. Take heart. Because Jesus has overcome the world. There's some beautiful scripture. There wasn't many amens with that, was there? You're not muzzled. You could shout out amen even behind that mask. I want to hear you. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, good on you. There's some beautiful scriptures that tell us what Christians have. I often think that a lot of Christians act like someone who has an umbrella and they go out in the rain and they don't open it. Wouldn't it be stupid to walk around in the rain if you've got an umbrella and you just use it as a walking stick? If you've got an umbrella, what is it there for, to keep the rain off of you? And I see so many Christians, these promises that I'm going to tell you now, it's like an umbrella that they've got closed. The Bible says in the New Testament, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says, we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. The Bible says, all things, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now you want to take those scriptures on heart, because if you don't, you walk out there like you're walking in the rain with an umbrella that's not open. And you would say, if you saw anybody doing that, how stupid you are. Well, I can say to you, if you're walking out there without getting all of these promises of God, because you are Christians, if you're not getting all of the promises of God, how stupid you are. You're walking in the rain, getting wet. Stop it. Take the promises of God. The title of this message is Victory Through Praise. And I want to take you back to one wonderful incident that happened. You don't have to turn to it, but it's in 2 Chronicles 20. And a lot of you will have read this many times before. And I just want to go through the story and pull some things out that's really important for us to know. It says, after this, the Moabites and Amorites and some of the Menuhites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah, and he was a good king. He'd got some real good points, and he was a follower of God, and the people around him were doing pretty well because he was following God and encouraging them to. But at some time, it said, there was a group of people rose up, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Menuhites. They rose up to make war against them. And this is what he says. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. A vast army. Then it says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He was alarmed. You would be alarmed if you knew what was happening in that day and age. All the people in Judah would have been alarmed, because these tribal kings that came with their armies would have killed most of the men, women, and children. And those they didn't kill, they take off captive and make them slaves. So this was a pretty serious moment. This was not just, this was serious. The army was on the doorstep. Hundreds of thousands of fighting men. Huge army. And somebody came to say to Jehoshaphat, they're not far away. They're almost here. And it says, Jehoshaphat was alarmed. Now, I can understand that. I can understand being alarmed. If you are alarmed, there's a sense of fear in you. And things happen in your life and things happen in my life that alarm us. Sometimes we hear news that it alarms us. News we don't want to hear, news that distresses us, news that could easily make us afraid. And when you're alarmed, there's an element of fear in that. And so Jehoshaphat, the king, was alarmed. He was afraid because this army was bigger than the men that he was looking after, bigger than the people that he was looking after. So he was alarmed. But then it says, then he started to inquire of the Lord. I love it. The thing that Jehoshaphat did, he started to inquire of the Lord. He started to pray to the Lord. It says he called a fast, and the people got together and they fasted. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly and he prayed to God. He prayed a beautiful prayer, and you can read it there. But in this prayer, he's reminding God of God's promises. He's telling God that, and he's praying from the temple in Jerusalem, that Solomon built. And as he dedicated that temple, Solomon said, if your people become impoverished, or if your people get attacked, if they will come to this place and seek you and pray to you, you will deliver them. That's what Solomon said, and Jehoshaphat is reminding God of that in this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. He's reminding God that, God, you said you'd help us, and we're looking for your help now. I've reminded you this morning of some beautiful promises. All things work together for good to them that love God. I've reminded you of that. Greater is he that is in you, that is Jesus, than he that is in the world. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I've reminded you of the promises of God. You may have things going off in your life that are alarming you. There may be things attacking your marriage, your children, your body, your health, your well-being, your prosperity. I don't know, but a lot of people here right now are under attack. And if you're not under attack right now, it won't be long before you will, because as we live in this world, there will be trouble. And when you're under attack, you get alarmed. First thing you do, inquire of the Lord by reminding God of his promises to you. Can you say amen to that? Can you say a bit louder than that? Come on. Can you say amen? Amen. Remind God of his promises to you. His promises are real and true. God makes a promise. He keeps a promise. Hallelujah. Remind him. And then he says, but now here we are from the men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, they're in our territory, and they want to invade us. And he says, see how they are repaying us for the good that we did to them. Israel did good to those nations. They didn't attack them. And these now are attacking Israel. And this is what Jehoshaphat prayed, and all the people heard him. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This is a king praying. He knows how many soldiers he's got. He knows how many chariots he's got. He knows what his manpower is. And he says, we can't face this vast army. There's too many. They're too big. But he says, our eyes are on you. Do you love that? He's not giving up. He's not running away. He's reminding God of the promises that God has made to him. And in reminding God of those promises, he's reminded himself that you have promised to be with us. When you remind God of his promises, do you know what you're doing? Reminding yourself. That's literally what you're doing. When I reminded you this morning of the promises of God, and I can tell God his promises, I'm reminding myself of the promises. And I need to remember the promises of God, because there's enough rubbish out there to take away God's promises if I let it. If I spend all the time gluing at the television box, if I look at the news and glue at that and listen to the gossip and all the things that's going around, all the bad news, if I'm not careful, I'll focus on bad news and the promises of God will dissipate from me. Well, I want to keep reminding myself, you focus, John, on the promises of God. The army may seem too vast, and there's people here today that you've got things that in the natural it's too big for you. It will destroy you. It will break you down. How many of you know that the enemy really hates you? Do you know the devil doesn't love you at all? You know he's got your number though, don't you? Do you know that? He knows where you live. He's got your phone number. He's got your mobile number. He knows everything about you, and he hates you. He doesn't love you. The devil doesn't love you at all because you're a Christian. So the devil's coming against you every time he can to bring you down, to shut you up. He wants a piece of your mind. He wants you to stop thinking about the promises of God. He wants you to knuckle under to him because he wants to be your master. Well, praise God, he's not going to be. I'm waiting for an amen, Lord. He's not going to be unless you let him. And by the reply you gave me then, I think some of you are doing. Come on. We're not going to let the devil get the better of us, because in God we are stronger than what he is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I know the devil's in the world with his cohorts. I know there's millions and millions of demons. I know that. I understand that. I see what they're doing to this world, the way that they're dissipating this world, the way they're dragging this world down, the way they're corrupting this world, making this world afraid and evil and divided. I know what these demons are doing. But I'm telling you this, greater is he that is in me than all those demons that are in the world. Come on. The greater one is in you. The greater one is in me. And you've heard me say this before, and I love it. One man and God is a majority. Yes. See, he said, Jehoshaphat, the army is too vast for us, but our eyes are on you. The army is too vast. Not if you've got God on your side, it's not. Because you're bigger than the army that's coming against you. One man, one woman, one child, and God is a majority. Come on, it's true. Come on, start to let the muzzle off. You know, I don't mean take it down literally, but I'm talking about the muzzle on your brain. Get it rid of it and start listening to this message and taking it in. Because we're living in a world that's attacking the Church of Jesus Christ like never before. The church is under attack worldwide. Worldwide, the devil wants to bring it down, but he's not going to do it. Because Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, he's saying, we've got this big army coming against us, but our eyes are upon you. And then a prophet arose at that time from the people that after the prayer, and he started to speak prophetically to Jehoshaphat and the people. It was a wonderful, wonderful prophecy. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Wow. He's saying that to all these people who are standing there afraid. Mothers with their children in their arms were standing there. The husbands were there. They'd come from the towns all around. There were hundreds of thousands of these people afraid of this vast army that is coming. And this prophet says, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. He's reminding them something else. That is, if the devil puts his hand on you, he puts his hand on God. Come on. You're a child of God. My mother, I remember years and years ago, she had got a lot of folks, my mother, before we managed to get her saved. But I'll tell you what. If any, and she got 9 kids. I was next to the youngest, and we was pretty disruptive family and dysfunctional family. But I'll tell you what. If anybody put any of their fingers on any of the kids, my mum used to go for them. I thought she was quite a timid till she's defending her own, and she would come out fighting, even though we were in the wrong. She'd come out fighting. That's how she was. And I think of God's the same. If anybody touches me, guess what? They're having a go at him. Do you know why? Because I'm his child. I'm his son. I am his adopted son. And do you know what? He thinks I'm terrific. He does. God thinks John Warwick is so terrific. Just take a look at him. Look at him. He's my adopted child. How many of you know that every parent thinks their children are terrific? Come on. You can call them. You can shout at them. You can push them about, but don't let anybody else. Because they're yours. They're special. You love them. God loves you. Not just me. I'm his child, but so are you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. I don't care how weak you think you are. If you love Jesus, then you're a child of God. You're a son and daughter of the living God. You have been adopted by him. So you, when you walk around, just know this, that you are adopted of God, and the greater one is in you. Something quite interesting happened. Remember, they haven't got an army that can battle against this army. They've got weapons. Of course they have. Jehoshaphat had an army, but not as big as this one. He had weapons, but not as many as these guys have got. And these people were not as ferocious as the Moabites. So he's thinking, what are we going to do? And the prophet says, go against them. Get up and go out to meet them. Wow. What would you have thought if you heard that from the prophet standing there? The wives looking at those. He wants you to go out. Looking at those, you've got to go out and meet that army. What a step of faith that would have been for each of those people. Go out and face them. Listen, remember, the battle is not yours, but mine. But go and face them. Don't run away. Don't cringe in a corner. You're a child of the living God. Don't cringe. Don't run. Don't hide. Face the problem right now. That which the enemy is bringing against you, face it. You may not have the ability or the power in yourself to overcome it. That's not what is in question here. God says, through this prophet, go and face them. And something wonderful started to happen. The priests and the singers that day of the temple singers, they started to praise God. There was standing here by the thousands of people, and the priests started to praise God. The army, the evil army, was at the door, but they started to praise God. They weren't muzzled. Come on, they weren't muzzled. It says, if you read it, they praised the Lord with a very loud voice. Now, I'm going to say something now that's going to upset you. Are you ready for this? I've said a few things already that's upset you, but here's another one. Are you ready? There's only one way to praise God. Only one. And that is loudly. Come on. You don't praise God like this. You don't praise God like that. You praise God like this. You're wonderful, Lord. You're marvelous. You're glorious. We bless you. We praise you. We uplift you. We magnify the name of the Lord our God. And you shout it out. That's when I was sitting there this morning. I thought, Lord, what have you given me a word like this for? Victory's in praise. There's nobody praising you here. They sounded all muffled. Well, I believe Pentecostal churches should be Pentecostal. This is a Pentecostal church. I believe Pentecostal churches should praise God. You may say to me, it's all right for you, Pastor John. You're not going through what I'm going through. I've come in here this morning hurting. I'm hurting. I've got problems I don't know how to solve. I don't know which way to turn. Well, that's a time to really turn to God and start praising Him. That's the time to lift up your voice and start praising God for who He is. Start focusing on Him and not on the problem. You see, you could come in here and talk about your problem till the cows come home. Talking about your problem isn't going to help it, but starting to praise God is. When you start to focus on Him, your faith starts to rise. Your hope starts to rise. Your love starts to rise. You realize, hey, I've got all these promises that God has given me. Devil, get out of here. You're a liar. Something happens in your spirit. And that's what happened there. They praised, and then everybody was praising God with a very loud voice. I like it. Come on. In fact, I like it so much that I think they got their victory there in the presence of God, praising Him. That's what I think. But anyway, God says through the prophet, go out in the morning and face them. So they got the armies together and the field together, and they were going to march out to face. And their weapons were not no match for what, and or in the numbers, the weapon, no match. And then Joshua did something strange. He got the singers, the choir, he got the musicians, and he put them in front of his army. He didn't put them behind. He put them right in front. Now, how many of you know that if you're playing instruments, you can't hold a spear. You can't hold an axe or a javelin. If you're holding, unless you've got something like this, of course, and that would give them, that'd whack them, Bree. That'd give them but apart from that, playing your instruments, well, you don't think of warfare like that. So in front of the army was walking out the singers, priests, and they were praising God, lifting their voices to God. This is what they were saying. Let me read this. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, And this is what they were saying: give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. That's what they were singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, I don't know what tune they used, and I'm sure they got better voices than me, but I don't think God was thinking, oh, I don't like your voice, you go out. He wasn't. Doesn't matter about your voice. When you come to church on Sunday morning, and we got singers up here, they're not bad, our singers, are they? Have you noticed? They're pretty good. But God isn't just listening to them and saying to you, like, shut up, you lot, they've got good voices. No, he don't care if you sound like a foghorn. Come on. Some people have got nightingale voices, and others of like me have got voices that are like gales in the night. But it doesn't matter. God's not bothered by the sound. He's bothered where it's coming from, the heart. When you sing, sing from your heart. Your vocal cords may not be the best. As I get older, mine are getting worse. It doesn't matter. I still want to sing from my heart to the Lord. I still want to do that. And these people were singing this beautiful song. I love it. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Try and get a picture of this, will you? They're marching towards a vast army that are out to kill them, destroy them, rip them to pieces, and take those that they keep alive off as slaves. What are they singing? They're singing to the Lord. They're now not just reminding themselves of the promises of God. They're actually singing to God. They're singing to God because they've suddenly focused how good God is. The praise went out first. Not the fighters, the praise. Some of you people, you perhaps find it hard to fight. I'm talking about spiritually, mentally, psychologically. You find it hard to fight. Some of you are not quick. How many of you here have sometimes been like I've been in the past? You've been in a bit of a discussion, an argument. Somebody said something to you, and you wanted to say something back, but you couldn't think of anything. Then on the way home, you think of something. Oh, we should have said that. How many has had that experience? Let me see. Raise your hands. Come on. Oh, good. It's not just me. Most of you have. You know, and some of us are like that. We're not quick. We're not witty. We're not sharp. Doesn't matter. We can sing praises to God anyway. These people weren't, they were just praising God. They put out of their mind what could happen to them. They put out of their mind the disaster. Suddenly, they're God's people in God's hand, who God says, this fight isn't yours, it's mine. You belong to me. I have promised to look after you. I am your master. I look after you. You just praise me. Show me you appreciate me in the midst of trouble. Now, I'm not against praying when trouble comes, because I pray a lot when trouble comes. But I never leave my prayers just prayers of God help me. I like to finish always with praise. Do you understand that? Sometimes I've been in a situation where I've not known what to pray. Sometimes, over my dear wife, there's been times when I've not known what to pray. Sometimes you think, why should I pray? And do you know what I do when I don't know what to pray? I start praising God. Because I know that the Spirit that is within me will pray through me. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that no man can utter. That's what the Bible says. You've got the Spirit of God praying in you. And when you start a praise in, the Spirit of God will pray through you. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying this? I really am. I think it's good, don't you? It's true. I'm telling you something that is basic and fundamental, and we keep letting it go. So the people went out praising God. And he says, as they were going out, not knowing what to expect, just praising God, he said, these enemy that have come against them, the three kingdoms, for some reason started to fight each other. They fell out with each other and started to fight against each other and destroy each other. Can you imagine now, is the Israelites coming? In front of them are the singers, and maybe they come over the hill, and they look down, and they was expected to see this vast army. And do you know what they saw? Dead bodies. All over. dead bodies. They'd killed themselves. They'd obliterated themselves. Because God was on the side of his people. Hallelujah. And God went to work. And this is, it doesn't end there. He says, they started to think, look at this plunder that they've left. Look at all the stuff in their tents. The gold, the silver, the weapons, the food, the clothes. It says, listen to this, it took Judah, all these people there, 3 days to strip them of all the plunder and go. 3 days, that's a lot of plunder. Come on, so they went out to the enemy and came back richer. Come on, they went out perhaps with a bit of fear and trembling, but praising God, and they came back richer. The children of Israel did the same. When the children of Israel were sent out of Egypt, the Egyptians gave them whatever they asked them for. They want to get rid of them quick. Look, the angel of death is here. Get out, go. Ever since you've been here, there's been nothing but trouble. Get out. Well, can I have that gold ring on your finger? Yes, take it, go. Can I have that necklace? Yes, take it, go. They came out rich. They plundered Egypt because they were God's people. Hallelujah. Now, don't get upset about that, because all the gold, all the silver, all the copper, all the iron ore belong to him. Yes. Don't tell me it belongs to a country, because it doesn't. It belongs. He made it. And if he wants to give it to you, he can. Do you want to say amen to that? Amen. Not very loud, though. What's wrong with them this morning? I don't know, Lord. I'm trying my hardest. They came upon a defeated foe, and they plundered that defeated foe. There is victory in praise. Amen. I'm going to say it again. There is victory in praising God. And I honestly believe that's one lesson that the church needs to learn, and it hasn't learned it, because you don't get into a habit of praising God. I remember once somebody said to me, after a meeting had finished, he said, oh, you're always praising God. You've got a habit of praising God. And I said, no, I haven't. I can form many habits, biting my nails or whatever it may be, lots of habits, but people never form a habit of praising God. Do you know why? The devil doesn't want them to. Every time you praise God, it's not out of a habit, it's because you put something into it. It's not something that you're addicted to praise God. It's something you've got to do because you know it's the right thing to do. Praising God is so important. And praising God isn't reading a couple of verses in a morning before you go out to work. No. Praising God is something that you can do every day and all day. You can do it quietly, or you can do it loudly when you're by yourself. Now, I know, I say to people, when you're walking around the shopping center, praise God. But I don't mean walk around the shopping center going, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. Because if you did, you'd see two men come in white coats and drag you off. But you can go around the shopping center quietly praising God. Come on. You can praise God loud in your car. Hallelujah. But most of you haven't got time for that because you've put the deadly news on, or the deadly talkback shows, or you got the stupid songs on that's got nothing to do with Jesus at all. And so you blocked it out. Instead of that, why don't you tomorrow try praising God in your car? I know it's novel. I know that, Lord, but I'm trying. It's novel. Do it. Start to form an attitude of gratitude to God. You would be surprised if you start to go from here, and I nearly finish, go from here and look at how many scriptures there are in the Bible about praise. The Psalms are full of it. And Psalm 149 and 150, just about praise. In the New Testament, Paul tells 3 churches, keep praising God. Give thanks to the Lord for all things at all times. Keep giving thanks. Don't stop giving thanks to God. And if you think you've got nothing, and you might think that, you might think, what have I got to give thanks for? My marriage is no good. I've got sickness in my body, or I've got no money. What have I got to give thanks for? Well, if only you could see what you've got to give thanks for. If the eyes of your understanding was to be enlightened and you was to see what God's preparing for you now, you'd be thankful. Please don't get upset with me when I say this. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm telling the truth. Do you know the best thing that can happen to you as a Christian is for you to die? Because the moment you leave this life, you're in glory with Jesus. You're going to see an inheritance at you. And Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said that, and he knew what suffering was. Paul knew what it was to suffer. But he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing what's going to be revealed in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You've got a glorious future. You should be fighting to get there. Come on, you've got a glorious, wonderful, marvelous future with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the Father God throughout eternity. And it's going to go on with great splendor and joy and peace and satisfaction, fulfillment. You know, that's yours. That's what you are inheriting. But you say, well, I'm not there yet, Pastor John. I'm not there. I know you're not. Neither am I. But in the world, you will have trouble. I'm not going to finish that. I've nearly finished. I'm not going to finish this sermon by saying, in the world, you will have trouble. Well, you already know that. I know that. But in the world, you're a Christian. Open your umbrella. Come on. Open your umbrella against attacks of the enemy. Don't let the rain fall on you. Open your umbrella. Remember the promises of God and walk with a smile on your face. Walk with the joy of the Lord that is our strength. There's not a day passes, not one day goes by that I don't pray for my wife in that nursing home. May your joy be her strength. And God's answered that prayer. My wife has got dementia in a nursing home, but I tell you what, she's got joy. She can't always recognize, she can't always understand it, but I can see the joy and the peace that my darling wife has got, because that is worth more than anything else that there is. The day will come when she will be released and in the presence of the Lord, and she will have all her faculties back again. But right now, she's got the joy of the Lord, which is her strength, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. And some of you people here, and I'll finish with this. It's not only joy that you need, but a peace. Because some of you think, John, this that's happening to me now is really making me alarmed. It's making me afraid. It's just getting to me. Remember, we read the first part of the 20th chapter, and it says, Jehoshaphat was alarmed. Let's read towards the last part of this story. It says this, verse 30. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. It starts with alarm and it finishes up with rest, because these people fix their eyes on Jesus, on God, and praised him. They sang praises to God and something miraculous happened. I honestly believe with all my heart that the church does not praise God out of a habit. You have to praise him as something that you do. And I believe that the Pentecostal churches are not into praising God. We may be into a lot of modern stuff with music and lights and all this and that, but I'm talking about praising God, not just on a Sunday morning. And let me tell you this, if you can't do it on a Sunday morning, you're not going to do it tomorrow morning when school's on, when work's on. You're not. If you can't praise God in the presence of God's people with him in a beautiful time, you're not going to do it when you're at home. But if you start to do it at home, if you start to praise God throughout this week every day, and you start to thank him and give thanks to him for what he has done, the good, and remind yourself of his promises, when you turn up here on Sunday morning, this place will explode. I don't think they believe me. I'm telling you, this place will explode. Who'd like to walk into this place and see miracles happening? See bodies getting healed. See people coming off the street getting saved. Marriages getting healed. Well, what's going to start that happening? The church on fire. And when we say the church on fire, it doesn't mean all going to become great preachers, because we're not. That was never God's intention. But what God's intention is, that we know how to praise him. That we come into church on a Sunday morning with a heart of praise. That we start to lift God before his throne and say, thank you, Father, for all that you've done, for who you are. I give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Amen. I'm not going to call the musicians up. I'm going to call all you up. I'm putting you at the front of the line to praise him. Let's go out of this place this morning praising him. We may not have come in praising him, but everybody stand if you can. If you're able to stand, stand. If not, stay seated. But I want you, even though you're muzzled, because you're not really, you've got a mask on. And I know what the psychology of that is. And I know what people say about that. I'm not interested. You could have your mask on, but you could still praise him. Yes. You could make as much noise through that mask. And so loud that if there's any COVID in here, it'll disappear. Yes. Come on. If there's any demons here, they'll disappear. Yes. Because one thing that the devil doesn't like is God's people praising God. It scares him. It frightens him. Because he is schizophrenic. He wants all the praise for himself. Well, he ain't getting it. Our God's getting the praise. So I'm going to count to three. And I want you, every one of you here, youngest to oldest, I want you to praise God. He said, what do you want me to say? Well, say your own words in praise, but say it out loud. Say it out loud. Don't praise God. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. You're wonderful. Don't do that because nobody's going to hear you. Praise him. Say, God, I'm going to, and I want this to be the beginning of something wonderful in me, Lord, that I'll keep on praising you no matter what, no matter where I am. Tomorrow on the way to work, on the way to school, I'll be praising you. When I get in my house on my own, no wonder, I'm going to be praising you. I'm going to put a few worship praise tapes on. I'm going to start to develop that attitude of gratitude for you, Lord. And I know that in this world I'll have trouble, but I'm going to be of good cheer. I'm going to be happy in you. So I'm going to count to three, and I just hope everybody will open their mouth as loud as they can and start praising God in your own way, just for a few seconds, and let's just let some incredible liberty come within our spirits. Does anybody feel, no, I'm not going to ask you that. I was going to say, does anybody feel they need some liberty in this spirit? Well, this is how to get it anyway. Oh, don't put your hand up. He knows. I don't need to see. He knows where you are. But he wants to hear you praising him for all that you're worth. After three, come on. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. We honor you, we magnify you, we glorify you, we lift you high, oh God, for you are high and lifted up. There is no one like you, Lord, not in all the earth. We praise you, we bless you, we honor you, we lift you, Lord. You are the great and mighty God. You're the first and last, the beginning and the end. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. I want honest answers. Does anybody here think they could have shouted a bit louder? Hands up if you think you could. Don't lie to God. God's watching you. Who thinks they could have shouted louder? God, thank you for those honest people. Thank you very much. The rest of you, God's going, because he knows you could have shouted like. Some of you didn't shout at all. But do it. Break. There's a breaking through. Do you know this valley where all these dead bodies were when they stripped them? Do you know what they call that valley? The Valley of Baraka. Do you know what that meant? It was a valley of praise. That which should have been a skirmish where they should have died, they called it the Valley of Praise. Hallelujah. You've got problems in your life, some of you? Sickness, marriage, finance, children, work. Well, start praising God now and let's see miracles happen in your life. Come on, I'm going to count to two this time and really go for it. One, two. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Slain before the foundation of the world. We lift you up. We magnify you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For you are the great God, the mighty God. You are the God of miracles, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I pray this word will settle in our hearts, and we won't forget it, but we will go home praising you. Throughout the day, we will praise you. Tomorrow morning, we'll wake up praising you, Lord. Father, give people here who haven't got a revelation of praise, give them a revelation of the power of praising you. And may this church become a church of breakthrough, where we see the miraculous flowing because we know how to praise you. Lord, all the valleys around us, these valleys of darkness that are trying to get hold of us, we want them to become the valleys of praise, the valleys of Baraka, in the name of Jesus. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place today. Bless our dear pastor. We thank you for our Lord, and for Luke, and for all the elders and the leaders. Thank you for all those who take part. But Lord, may we be a church of the breakthrough. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Stay and have lunch.